There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You're
funny,
scumbag. Get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con podcast, where 50 days of insanity-filled questions happen. No, not really. But joining me, as always, the lovely, the beautiful, the, short, but you know, spicy. Lee, Lee, how you doing?
Is that what I'm going to be now? Like the short, spicy girl?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, God. Hi, I'm good.
You're shorty, you know, spice. What?
You know what? We have now done these 3 days in a row. And I'm like, really? That's all?
Mm-hmm.
It feels
you're already,
like more.
You're already tired of me is what you're saying.
No, I'm not already tired of you. I just, it's funny because I just keep looking at the calendar going, oh, I've got a long time. Oh, no, I really don't have a long time until DragonCon, do I?
Well, as we record this, we are, what, just 51 days, I believe.
49 days?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Hold on. No. We're looking it up right now. Pulling it up.
Go look it
on
up.
DragonCon.org. Technically.
I looked.
Yes.
Earlier today, I don't think I saw any new guests.
50 days and 13 hours as we record this.
So as we record this, 50 days and 13 hours. So people, you can figure that out.
First one will go up tomorrow. So there we go.
Yay!
Yep.
We're on time.
Sure. I don't know how we're going to fill some of the days, but whatever. So, Lee, so you said there's no guests?
Well, so, you know, I mean,
no new guests, rather. Well, yeah, there's no guests. DragonCon got rid of all of their guests.
There are guests. I mean, we have guests. I was trying to see if there were new guests. And, you know, but it's so funny because all the time there's always something going on. I mean, there's even now, because what we're doing now, everybody is doing pre-work. So we have a guest committee getting our guest. And we have the track directors and the other directors, gaming and all our other groups getting their schedules together. And then, you know, what's really funny is we still, there's the other stuff that goes on that you don't even see behind the scenes, which is, you know, the scheduling and the logistics for the setting up of the vendors room and the exhibit halls and everything like that. But then, you know, we have a lot of people who also want to come to Dragon Con, not just the attendees and not just the members, the members and the guests, but we also have all these reporters who want to come and, like, interview or write about Dragon Con. And you know what? That actually goes to a separate group.
Does it really?
It really does. Because we have so many people now who ask, we have a separate group who does it, and that would be our media relations group. And you know what's amazing?
What?
Tonight, we just happen to have somebody from there here.
No way!
Wait, I know! And this is Dan, who is the director of media relations. I know, isn't that like amazing that
it's
we
strange.
Seem to have some of these people? Right.
Every time, it's like you conjure them up out of thin air.
That is exactly where I come from. Thin air. That doesn't explain how my pants fit, but thin air. That is.
I like that idea of thin air. So, Dan, how are you doing? Oh my God, 6 weeks.
I am doing so well. No. You mean 16 weeks? I have 16 weeks worth of work to do.
No, but all of us do, and yet it's only about 6 weeks.
Well, anyway, how are you doing, Lee? Are you all set for your track?
I'm all set. Yeah, let's go. Woohoo! Oh, and an actor did get added today to the guest list. Walter Koenig.
Most of you know
as Chekhov from Star Trek and Bester in Babylon 5.
I'm not sure you pronounced that right, but
it is a Koenig. It is a German word for king.
Really?
Okay, excuse me.
Yes, it is a cognate for the word Carol. in Gaelic.
I learn something new every day.
Yes, in my younger days, I was a linguist, or technically a linguistic technician, studying the Slavic languages and fighting the Cold War. So I learned lots.
Well,
that's true, by the way. Yes.
Oh, really?
That is very, very. That's very cool, actually, because that. But he's coming. Yay! The original Chekhov, the one who was added to Star Trek because of the monkeys and a little bit that he looked like Davy Jones.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
That is.
You didn't know that? That's actually Chekhov. Chekhov got added to Star Trek because of the monkeys. The character. He's not in the first season. He got added the second season, and part of the reason they chose him supposedly is because he looked a little like Davy Jones.
That is fascinating. I had no idea that was what had happened there. Wow.
I was going to say, this is not necessarily Dan's background, but another thing about you is about me that the audience might find interesting is my first concert was a Davy Jones concert at Six Flags in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
How old were you?
Probably.
Was it
12.
Just Davy Jones, or was it the monkeys?
No, it was Davy Jones and Mickey Dolenz and musical writing pair called Boyce and Hart as a foursome doing monkey songs. And Boyce and Hart wrote most of the songs that Carole King did not write. And it was a weird, weird retro concert. And I was old enough that on the way to the concert, I listened to Led Zeppelin's Presence and to Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. So I was not
very.
It was a very, very weird concert. So, but one of the things I love is, did you remember Mickey Dolenz was a guest at Dragon Con a few years back?
Oh, that's true. Yes, I remember that.
And I love the fact that anybody can show up at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Well, we do love the fact that anybody can. But, you know, anybody as a guest who is a pop or sci-fi, but not everybody can come and say, oh, yeah, I'm a reporter. I want to be there. So how do you guys decide who gets that wonderful media pass to come to Dragon Con?
Well, the first thing is someone has to apply. http://mediarelations.dragoncon.org. Click the apply now link and you too can apply and be turned down for a media pass.
And just curious, you guys are still open now because guests and pros are closing.
We are, and I'm telling you, for the first time in public, you will be the announcement. Is August 1st is our official deadline for closing down media relations applications. We are, however, extending it to the 15th of April because we have sped up our vetting process. Because we've used, you asked what this process is. We have numeric standards for how many reporters each outlet can produce.
Oh, interesting.
So we go to each outlet. We look at their Google rank. Google rank is our primary factor. The other factors we use are number of Facebook followers, number of Twitter followers. Then we go into their monthly self-reporting monthly unique users. And we know that there is no greater profession for integrity than self-created websites run by young people who are reporters.
Yep.
So then we take whatever number they say that they have each month visiting their website and find a way to verify that. Sometimes we ask for statistics. We are now moving much more into some new media. So we do have YouTube sites applying, and our standard is 100,000 followers on YouTube to be considered a media site on YouTube. But then we use another criteria. We do use all the numeric criteria that I just mentioned. And the last thing we use for our criteria is something that is very different. Is that you? Did you guys message me?
Okay. I don't think.
Yeah. See, this is what I used to do on the radio, and I used to drive my station manager. I would actually talk about what was going on in the studio when it was happening.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay. So, so right now the cats are looking at each other and they're about to pounce on each other. And
you have a brand new kitten and a really big old cat, right?
Well, no. I have a very solid 18-month-old cat.
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I can hear you now.
Okay. I have an 18-month-old cat named Braverman, who is solid. He is not by any means fat. He's a very active tug-of-war playing cat.
I apologize to Braverman. I meant that in a disrespect.
It's the size of my hand.
Oh, really?
So it's that.
It's a new kitten. Yeah.
So can your cat get a media pass?
My cat cannot.
Oh.
And the reason is because one of the criteria is you have to be 17 years or older.
Oh.
To be able to.
That's another one.
And
yes.
By the time I get a 17-year-old cat, I will not be doing this anymore. Sorry, Rachel. Eventually, I'm going to have to retire.
You say that? No, you know what? You know what? You say that.
I've talked to Regina Kirby. You never know. This could go on.
You
forever.
Never know. Some of us, you know, some of us still can't believe we're at 17 years now. So,
well, it's a funny thing. Let me get back to the reporter thing, because this is the one serious part. And that is, if we have a reporter who we know is out there promoting Dragon Con in the community, who is working with Dragon Con, with the directors and has a recommendation from a director, or somebody who is established within the local community. There are folks in this community here in Atlanta who may not necessarily hit all those numbers, but we know they're getting the readership, and we know they're getting our readership, and they're bringing the message out. So,
right, so
those are our criteria.
That's really interesting. So it's on that point, it could be just somebody that has a particularly niche website or whatever, and though they might not hit the numbers, you do know from history that and from recommendations that they are legit.
Sure. And yeah. And it may be a situation where these are people who are might not have the old school tradition, but they're getting us the audience, they're getting the message across, and they are helping. A lot of people don't realize that media relations and Lee, I will say this, I'm known for being a nice guy. I mean, that's
yes,
my stick.
You are a nice guy.
I am, and I legitimately care for my reporters. However, my role is not to be a reporter advocate. I am part of the public relations department and communications department of Dragon Con, and my job is to promote the convention and the message. And to, can you help me out with this, Lee? Spread the blank.
Joy that is Dragon Con.
Joy that is Dragon Con.
To as many people as possible. Yeah.
And that is.
Or as I always like to say that, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, I was agreeing with you. Yes.
Oh. Well, I always like to say that we throw a very intimate party. I used to say for 20,000 people, but I haven't been able to say that for about 7 years now. So we throw an intimate party for about 50,000+ of our closest, nearest, and dearest friends.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna shock you and say we're going over 60 with our estimate right now.
That is our estimate right now is over 60. I think John and I were talking about that the other time. I think the estimate right now is like 60 to 62K this year.
Yeah, I've been told 62 is an honest number that I can use.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Okay, I like 60. 60 sounds good.
So
then when it's
go ahead, Lee.
But I think what's amazing too is that we keep expanding. I mean, I you've been with Dragon Con now what, 8 years?
This is my ninth year as a volunteer.
Yeah,
this is my sixth year as a director.
Well, and so you have been as we've been expanding. I think one of the things I was talking to somebody actually at work who I do have a real job, and I was talking about Dragon Con, and they said, oh yeah, I remember when I was I went 1 year and you guys were only in like one hotel, and I was like, you know, I remember those years too, and that's not where we are anymore. And it's amazing because we've had good growth, but we've had very it kind of, every year that we get bigger, when we've now added 5 hotels, I think it's always been that, another hotel. Okay. Because it hasn't like just, we keep expanding and we keep having people that are very interested. I mean, I saw there was an Atlanta article this week that said things to do this summer, and Dragon Con, I think, was number 5 or 6 in the paper for things to do in Atlanta during the summer. And then we keep getting amazing, amazing press. And you guys are the ones doing that PR work. And you know, I mean, you've even seen the difference between who used to ask to come and who's now. Who are some of the biggest names you're seeing now?
I would have to say the thing that we're most impressed with is the fact that we have so much coverage with CNN, where when my first year, we barely had coverage with CNN.
Yeah.
We're getting much more respect with the local newspapers and magazines and TV shows. It's common now for me to do 2 morning shows a year,
yeah,
and possibly 3. And that was not the norm before I arrived. So I've been blessed with the contacts there.
It used to be Dragon Con was kind of the, you know, they would make jokes about it on the radio now. And now they're treating us very seriously. I don't know if somebody called them and say, hey, be nice to those people. They spend a buttload of money in Atlanta.
Well, it's also the rise of the geek, isn't it? I mean, it's become more mainstream to be out of the stream, I guess.
Well, it's kind of a weird thing. You know, I've got some theories about the difference between the geek community under 35 and the geek community over 35.
Yeah.
Radical difference between how they perceive geekdom, and they're much more of what I would call hipsterish as opposed to traditionally geeky.
I would agree with that.
But I think the Movado piece last year, calling Atlanta the geekiest city in the country, or nerdiest.
Yeah.
Nerdiest. That did a lot for us. But there are still news organizations in this city that will not send a single representative and will deride us incessantly in their newsrooms. I know this for a fact. So
yeah, we're never gonna
move with them. Those are folks who are just not understanding that we are bringing in 52 million to 57 million, somewhere in that range, into the city of Atlanta's economy in one weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's a lot. That is a whole lot.
That's a lot of money. The hotel bars love us a lot.
Well, they do. And the hotels love us.
The hotels overall love us a great deal.
Right. And I mean, there was a great article. They interviewed Mr. Henry back in 2010 about the fact that there are a number of hotels in Atlanta, in downtown, that would have gone out of business had it not been for Dragon Con. And Dragon Con covered their losses for the summer.
Yeah.
So that is a trend, and they're not necessarily our host hotels. I don't want to say that, but their hotel industry was dragging. The Atlanta Convention and Visitor Bureau getting behind the convention is such a big way.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Understanding, you know, well, you've been with DragonCon for 17 years, you said?
That's how long she's been there.
Yeah. 17 as a volunteer. Yep.
Okay, so how...
And then 2 years before that, so it's 19 total, yeah.
And it was, even when I was a volunteer working the help desk, we didn't have these signs up and down the street from the Atlanta Convention and Visitor Bureau. We didn't have banners up and down Peachtree Street welcoming DragonCon. We didn't have signs in bars. Every bar south of Midtown welcomes us now.
Well, and I think, I mean... South of Midtown, north of the airport. I mean, because everybody is ecstatic. I mean, and you know, the first year I saw the buttons that said, you know, whichever hotel, because a couple of hotels now have them, and they said, you know, the Hyatt welcomes Dragon Con. I mean, and that to me was, that's that's a big deal. That's nice. You made up special buttons for us. That's kind of cool. And then, of course, the hotels that make up the key cards, if you're lucky enough to get one, that show. They come up with new key cards every year with our picture, you know, with a Dragon Con key card. I mean, I think that's great. But going back to media relations, and this is PR as well, but I mean, you've also done a great job at getting out the word that is the joy of Dragon Con. And you've been able to use so many of your contacts to get us, well, not just in the regional Atlanta market, but you've gotten us people that write about us in, you know, California, where there is another convention that likes to talk a lot.
Well, but, and that's a different show. That's a
well,
that's
no, it's a very different show, but it is. But you've got us on the map there. I mean, your group, you have really gotten us on the map even there, which I think says a lot about the work you've done and a lot about what Dragon Con is becoming.
Okay,
in a lot of ways.
So this has nothing to do with my actual job, but I had a reporter contact me. I mean, I guess it has to do with the job. But I had a reporter contact me, and he said, Dan, I just came back from WonderCon. And at WonderCon, everybody was complaining about DragonCon. And WonderCon, if you don't know, complaining about DragonCon. And you know what they were complaining about? Not being able to get hotel rooms. I cannot repeat to you the work these people did, but they were filmmakers and editors and writers of screenplays for movies that I'm sure if you don't own on DVD, you've seen in a theater. So,
yeah.
Or Blu-ray. I guess we're 2014 Blu-ray. So, and thank you. And the truth is, I'm going to tell you a story a lot of people don't realize. A few years ago, I'd been doing media relations for 3 years, and the social media, social networking director walked up to me and looked at me, and I will keep this clean. And she said, "Hey, Dan, how are you doing? You know, I always wanted to ask you a question. Where the hell did you come from?" And I go, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Like, well, you know, you're kind of like, you know, doing all this stuff, and nobody, I keep saying, who is this guy? Did you know him?" And they're all like, "No, I don't know who he is. I just met him. He seems okay." And the truth is, I came and I looked at her and I said, "I came from the information desk. I told people where the toilets were." So, and that's an important job at an event with 60,000 people. So, but it gave me the opportunity to learn how to answer any question about Dragon Con possible, which is what I do. But I started this job with I don't want to get in trouble and misstate it, but I had no list of previous reporters.
Oh.
I
didn't know that. I thought you did. So that's pretty cool.
No. And the reason I took this job is twofold. One, I had been married earlier, and the woman I was married to was very successful on television, and they interviewed me about her success in this particular fashion, and I found I was afraid of cameras and microphones. So I took this role to overcome that fear. Secondly, I wanted a hotel room. During the interview process, I was told that, and trust me, people, this next sentence is completely true. I was told if I was taking this job for a hotel room, I should go out and get hotel rooms that cost $1,000 a night, and it would be less aggravating, cost me less than to do this job.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. Because
that is very true. Yeah.
This job is a you know, 15 to 20 hour a week job in January, maybe.
Yeah.
So I'm working year round, and, you know, I have some other conventions that I'm allowed to work with to keep my skills up and try some experiments. And but, you know, I call Dragon Con my Labor Day wife. The other conventions understand where my loyalties lie. And any other convention I work for, I don't work for them until after I talk to the chairman of Dragon Con.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's a different role.
Right.
I mean, you know, go ahead.
No, Keep going.
Oh, I was going to say, it's. I'm also the only person not allowed to costume at Dragon Con.
Well, that makes sense, I guess.
I suggested a costume that would actually cover my face completely with a basket. And it's from an anime. So I would wear a big Japanese outfit and have a basket on my head, and nobody would know who I was as I walked around. And I was told no, that I am the face, and I have to go out there and be the face. So that is something I enjoy doing and I love doing. And to be able to talk about this event this way is exactly what I would be doing if I didn't have this job. I would be telling everyone I know how much I love Dragon Con and why they should love it too.
Dan, I got a costume for you.
What is that?
All right, I got two. First of all, you could dress as Mulder from the X-Files. You just have to get a really ugly tie, but you could still wear your suits. Still do that. You just have a little FBI thing on there that you put in your pocket when you have to be the face of Dragon Con. Or you could be an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And just you just get some, you know, you get some aviators, you get a little S.H.I.E.L.D. badge. Again, those both come off. You're still wearing a suit. You can still be the face of Dragon Con.
I have three for you that I am actually doing this year.
Oh, there you go.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
One of them, I believe the show... The Dead Zone, does that fall under your category, the TV show Dead Zone?
That totally does fall under my category, yes.
I will be cosplaying Reverend Purdy one night.
Oh, my.
I will be cosplaying, are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Obadiah Stane from Iron Man. When he's dressed in a suit at the beginning, not the Iron Monger.
Oh, you'd be an awesome Obadiah. Oh, that is, wow. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
And thirdly, I don't do that badly doing David Ogden's Sire either. And thirdly, I'm going to be doing Burl Ives from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
I just snorted sun-kissed out of my nose. Thanks. Sorry. Okay.
You might notice a theme of bald white men with goatees, but
bald white men with beards.
My Dragon Con beard is actually my 2008 Obadiah Stane costume that I did, and never changed my beard style. So I have a goatee during non-Dragon Con months, and from July through to September, I have my Obadiah Stane beard for Dragon Con every year.
That is so awesome. I love it. But see, I'm trying to give you one you can wear during the day. You know,
I can wear all of those during the day.
I don't know. The Burl Ives might be a little mud because you got to have a hat.
I have a hat. I'm allowed to wear a suit. Nobody says that it has to be it cannot be seersucker. I have a brand new seersucker suit to wear.
Can you do that wonderful accent that Bert did in that? No. I mean, that lovely honey diet ripping.
Sadly, I cannot even sing Silver and Gold. So.
Oh, sad segment. How about Frosty? Can you do that one?
He wasn't. No, I can't sing at all. I've never hit a note on purpose. As far as I know. Also, okay, can't clap.
All right. So I have watched you actually in action. I've been there. I've done an interview for you. You asked me to one year and I said whatever you wanted to do. But what is your favorite media story in everything you've done?
Or Dragon Con story.
Or what? The one where you had to like pull out your, you know, Dan Smash persona.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Your favorite
media story.
I will tell you this is known in my department as the story. The story, everybody knows what I'm talking about. That is that one year we allowed a major media outlet that was not necessarily somebody who we were completely comfortable with, but we understood they had millions and millions of viewers, and the organization was called Vice.com. And are you familiar with them? Yes. They just released their first movie, and they have a show on HBO. So yes, every time I watch Veep, I get to see a commercial for Vice.com. So Vice.com made arrangements to have – they wanted five reporters, and we gave them – I believe two or three in the end. I can pull up the emails, but we negotiated them down. And they took the reporters up to the catwalk above the Centennial Ballroom, which is an area that used to be a place where reporters were allowed to go. Reporters are no one is allowed up there now. Anyway, they watched Carrie Fisher. When Carrie Fisher was done, they snuck back stage to an area where they were not allowed to be. And when Carrie Fisher came off stage, they surrounded her. And I am in the Hilton Hotel. And for those who don't know, I'm a portly fellow. I'm not completely out of shape, but I'm not a thin man. And I got the message that Carrie Fisher was accosted coming off stage. My handler, Shelley, and I ran from the Hilton Hotel through the brand new walkway. Up into the Marriott, across the Marriott, running the entire way with her and Shelley screaming, "Security, DragonCon security issue, make a hole, DragonCon security issue." Even though we weren't security, but DragonCon media relations issue wouldn't work.
Yeah.
What do you got? You got a Dragon bad color copy.
DragonCon PR. DragonCon PR. Yeah, that's not going to work. Yeah, right. I got.
So we get over to the Hyatt and we bump into a gentleman known as Papa Smurf, who had seen the whole thing. Also, my BFF Brandy Rotsy, Star Wars track director, was involved, and Brandy and I are close enough that many years we had a single birthday party called the Dandy Party. For our birthday. So it's not that Brandy, somebody I'm saying is close to. Brandy and I are go back way before we were both directors. And we make it through and we're looking around and we can't find him. And we are told, and I quote, there was a naked guy in a jockstrap with a trench coat on.
Whoa, what?
Was responsible for this.
What?
There's a naked guy in a trench coat.
Yeah, and he's got a jock strap. So
technically not naked then.
What? Work with me, people.
John, wait, hold on 1 second, Dan. John, do you want to be the guy with the jock strap in the trench coat? Is that the costume I'm hearing you're going to wear this year?
Sure.
Awesome. Everybody heard it here. I can't wait to see it. I'm sorry. And we'll do it after dark, people. Don't worry. Dan, keep going with your story, please. Yeah.
And just a reminder, DragonCon After Dark, the actual event, no longer exists. We just
won. No, it doesn't. This is DragonCon after you know, what is right. it? Watershed. This is DragonCon after 10, 9 p.m. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going, Dan.
So I am running around with my assistant director, who at the time was my aforementioned wife at the time. And we're both looking. And I have run through thousands of people. And my adrenaline is really high. And I am being told that these people accosted Carrie Fisher.
Oh,
so so I...
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
So we find them in front of the art show interviewing people who are making a movie. They're young people making a movie. And so we go down there and I am livid. I am furious. This is absolutely as angry as I can get because I feel that I had been not only betrayed, but I had caused injury to the convention by allowing people that I had a bad feeling about to talk me into giving them a chance, and this is how I get repaid.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are interviewing Lucius and Eric about the movie they're making, and I grab everybody's badges. All at once, boom, 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 boom. Take their badges off the clip, and I tell everybody to sit down on the ground till security comes, because security's coming. And meanwhile, in the background, like a Greek chorus, my ex is screaming, "Security, security," over and over again. And I'm really angry. I am like, there's a part of me that grew up in New Jersey in an Irish Catholic family, being the youngest of seven, having to fight for what I needed in life. Uh-huh. And that's the part that came out with a whole lot of anger. And, but I, you know, the truth is I kept my language clean. I kept it professional, and I just told – I treated everybody the way I would have treated shoplifters working retail as a young man, except I was much louder. But again, I worked retail in New Jersey, so what am I going to say?
I'm amazed about the keeping the language clean since you're from New Jersey. Keep going.
And I do so much – just to clarify, I have had theological discussions with actual ordained ministers that sounds like people discussing the Met scores in terms of the number of F-bombs being dropped. And that's on both sides, because that's how we talk in New Jersey. It's really – The Sopranos was not making anything up. We really do use the F-word like a comma. So so at this point, I'm screaming, and this woman's saying she's calling the cops. She wants to have me arrested. I'm like, what is she – wait, she wants to have me arrested. She's a trespasser. And God bless her. She's a very powerful presence, this woman who's leading the – I guess she's a producer. And she's, you know, absolutely – every single one of them, absolutely shameless. No concept of self-responsibility among the group. I'm going to go ahead and call that out right now. And if they want to sue me for that, I'll go to court and discuss this with them based on the behavior there and what happened afterwards. So then finally the art director shows up, and I'm still arguing with him. I don't know why I'm even bothering arguing with him. My senior director shows up, gets the chairman, which is great. The chairman starts heading over. The art director gets the police. I didn't know the art director is close to the police, because the art director has to, because he's the one who's protecting a lot of valuable merchandise, just like the vending staff would be close to the police. So we got the police, hotel police, blah, blah, blah. And I suddenly realize that this whole thing has been videotaped with me screaming. Everything's been videotaped. I told the cameraman, put the camera down. He never turned it off. So they've got this video of me screaming. They take us into a room, and I surprisingly calmly explain what happened. And then everybody talks, and they take me out of the room. They take Brandy out of the room. They have the reporters, Mr. Henry, our current director, current chairman, Rachel Reeves is in the room. I believe Mandy might have been there. I'm pretty sure it's Rachel. Rachel or Mandy, but I'm pretty sure it's Rachel at the time. They're in the room. They're watching the video. And they – Carrie Fisher, oddly, responded much differently than me. She responded very calmly, told them they were the worst people on earth, told them that nothing they were doing was of any value, and just told them how awful they were without even – her voice never changed. It was just like, hey, I'd like cucumbers on my sandwich, and you're the worst people on earth. Whereas I got a little more emotionally involved. And the truth be told, it was Sunday, and my Dragon Con starts on Tuesday, so I was physically tired. So they come out of the room, and I resign from my position as media relations director, and Pat looks at me and goes, that won't be necessary. We'll talk about it tomorrow. And then he and Rachel both burst out laughing, and I kind of start feeling bad, like, oh, my God, they're laughing at me.
I'm left alone.
It ruined my Saturday. I didn't get to go to any Saturday events. I actually missed a panel that I was supposed to be it was my panel. It was a panel I had begged for on Dark Angel. And I didn't get to go to my Dark Angel versus Buffy panel.
We need to talk about your Dark Angel love, but that's a totally –
Is that your track, Dark Angel?
No. It would have been, yes, but no. It's so old now that it would be in classic sci-fi.
Oh, there you go. Anyway, so yes, I love My Dark Angel, and it's the icebreaker I use with every Canadian actor that I meet at Dragon Con, because every single one of them was in it for at least 15 seconds.
Oh, of course.
That or Battlestar Galactica.
Well, there are only 12 Canadian actors. Shush. Don't tell the truth about that. Shh.
So anyway, so I we're not done yet, by the way.
I know you're not. We're listening.
Because the next day, I find out why I still had my job and why it was so important to why they laughed. Because when the gentleman who was a reporter put the camera down, when he put the camera down, he didn't turn it off. He didn't pay attention to it either. So he didn't realize the three Planet of the Apes cosplayers bent down in front of the camera. And those Planet of the Apes cosplayers started eating pretend lice off of each other. So there is only about 7 seconds of me ranting. Then it goes into, I'm in the background while these monkeys are eating lice off of each other and acting like monkeys.
Dear Planet of the Apes cosplayers, we kind of heart you. We greater than three you.
The media relations department was saved by monkeys. Now, I am a practicing Hindu. First thing I did was call my ex and point out, hey, guess what? You know how you make fun of my monkey god? Let me tell you a story.
Let me tell you, the monkey god saved me. Yes.
The monkey god works. So, a couple weeks later, and I won't name this periodical, a couple of weeks later, I guess at the end of September, early October that year. Mm-hmm. No, it had to have been at the end of October. I received a phone call from a reporter telling me that he had just spoken to DragonCon leadership and they were planning on getting rid of me for my irresponsibility. And what was my reaction to that? And my reaction was, well, my actions were not appropriate, but they were definitely understandable. And whatever DragonCon's decision is DragonCon's decision. And I support the organization regardless of how this goes. I did not know at the time that this guy was lying to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So when I had my radio show, Seriously, Dan, I wanted to bring the reporter back and ask him about integrity and about lying to me. And that's why I didn't mention the name of his outlet. But he wrote this hit piece about how awful I was. And the truth is, I wasn't that awful. I was just a guy who was very upset that somebody that I grew up with as my Princess Leia was being attacked. So I was in the article. They not only attacked me, they praised the reporters for the number of times that they have been arrested or detained by the police in the past year.
Jeez.
For their illegal activity. And to me, that's why when you ask earlier about big names, we don't want big names. We want professional integrity names. And that's why we're so happy with CNN. We're happy with MTV. The big organizations send professionals down. You know, one of the saddest things is that G4 is gone. We know G4 had an investment in PAX, so we would never get the full treatment. But the G4 fan army loved Dragon Con, and they continue – all those reporters still continue to support the convention, and that's it. We're a family at Dragon Con, and our reporters – I feel my reporters are my responsibility, and I believe that they're family too, and it's my – It is the responsibility of the media relations department to translate that wonder, that amazement that is Dragon Con, that the energy, and translate it into a way that's usable for the reporters to do their job.
And I think you really do that. And thank you. That's like awesome. I mean, first of all, I learned three things from that story. Can I tell you the three things I learned?
No.
Yes.
Ha ha, John.
Okay, yes, fine.
Okay, so number one, as we well know, Princess Leia is a badass. So let us just always remember, Princess Leia is the biggest badass ever. So don't ever forget that. Number two, Number two, you can be from New Jersey and get upset and not swear, which amazes me.
That is something I never knew.
Yeah,
I thought
it
was impossible.
And number three, I think, Dan, your love of Dragon Con and what we do and what we share highlights every part of that story, because this was, you know, somebody you loved as a fan and a group that you hoped would help the convention, and everything that you did was about supporting that guest and supporting the convention. And I just, you know, that shows again how much you love this con, and that's kind of awesome.
It's interesting. You pointed out that the articles mention how, you know, praised Vice with how many times they've been arrested and whatnot. There's a reason there. You can be arrested for legitimate reasons. I mean, for justifiable reasons.
This was not Rosa Parks' reasons.
Right, exactly. Right. And I'm sure that they have for some of those things, but being jerks, that's not something to be proud of, right? I mean, you can be proud of being arrested because you were at Tiananmen Square and you were videotaping or whatever, but for just, you know, accosting Princess Leia, that's, you know, that's not cool.
Yeah, and you know, and what's interesting is that they, I don't want to share the link because I don't want to encourage that type of traffic for them, but right. It's an interesting watch because it really comes down to about 7 seconds of me screaming and about 10 seconds of me explaining why the situation came, and in either a really passive aggressive sort of way or an appreciation for my gusto. The video ends with a seven to 10 second special thanks to Dan Carroll.
Oh.
Aww.
So I guess I kind of, you know, I gave him good copy, you know,
yeah.
And the truth is I fell for it. You know, but every year, everywhere year we get those type of, you know, issues with reporters, not quite that bad. Mm-hmm. But you know, I used to do theater and they always used to tell me when I did theater that if lighting works, you don't know that the lighting in the theater works. And that's the way it is kind of with reporting. If the reporting is good, I'm not going to know that it's good reporting. Right. I'm going to know it's solid. But let me tell one. Can I tell one last story and then let you go? And
sure.
Then you can let me
sure.
go.
Sure, sure. We want to ask you one more question before.
Okay, but let me get this story out because this is really important. And that is, my first year working, I had two reporters who exceeded all expectations in terms of work ethic, and one of them is now a Dragon Con guest, and he's a novelist named Brian Young. And I'm included in one of his novels as the media relations director with the girl's voice. That's not a joke. I mean, it is a joke. Hold on. It's a comedy novel, but I am that character. And that's a book about his love for Dragon Con. But to see the way he came and he reported as hard as anybody I've ever seen. And the second one, was somebody working for a Stargate publication. It was a publication dedicated to Stargate. And I bumped into her four or five times. This was back when you could go in the middle of the day on Friday, you could be on the concourse level at the Hyatt and still walk around. So it was a long time ago. But I saw
that was a long time ago.
I saw her working harder than anybody, and except for Brian. And she left that website, and the minute I heard that she was leaving the website, she wanted to know if she started her own website, could she be a reporter? And I said, no, you're going to be my second is what you're going to be. And let me explain what a second is. And this is something that I think is important to share. The first year she came in, she agreed to help me with the interviews with the reporters. We had three interviews that year between reporters and media that we set up. Last year, she had 78 interviews over the 4-day period.
Wow. With
over half of those being multi-reporter press conferences.
And Lee, we complain about doing 50 days. She's doing,
you know, I know.
What, 80, 84 in 4 days, is that what you said? Or 74?
78. And again, half of those were press conferences. And those were the number of times that she interviewed. She didn't do the interview. She wasn't doing it. She is overseeing them and orchestrating them. It's the guests being interviewed by our reporters. She was so successful. I did not have a space to sit down with reporters and interview because everything was booked up. I did two on-site interviews last year. Normally I do about 8. We're going to fix that this year. And we're also going to be doing a lot of interviews with myself and the other directors with reporters. So I just want to say that this is a team effort. This is not just me. Lee, it's in the directors. I did send you an email if you want in on that. So
I thought I responded to you.
I'll have to double check. I don't have right now. I got like 14 different spreadsheets going of things that I have to take care of tonight.
Yeah.
So I hear you had a question for me also.
John, this is the last.
This is the last question.
You can ask me more than that, but you can ask me the last question.
Well, Lee, did you have anything else before we?
No, we're good. Okay. It's your turn.
All right. So Dan, you've been involved with lots of media, obviously. If you could work in any time period in the whatever media it happens to be, what would you like to work in? Like, say, the 40s or whatever?
I'm gonna have to say that I would like to be in the man in the gray flannel suit period, just pre Mad Men, 52 to 57. But in order for this to work out properly, I would need to be working out of a modern home, much like the professor has on a show we like to call Powerpuff Girls.
Yes.
Powerpuffs.
So I have a dream house in Atlanta to live in. And right now, it looks like the house Morpheus lives on the movie Forbidden Planet. And right now, it's occupied by a Canadian named Bieber.
Oh,
and it's very sad when I found out he was living in my favorite house.
Now, would you be in print media or radio? What would you?
Oh no, I would be in a newfangled television media. Me and Mike Wallace would have our entertainment show. You know, I don't know if you know this, but Mike Wallace, before he did the Mike Wallace 60 Minutes stuff, used to do the Broadway beat in New York on local television.
Really?
Yes. Well, so I would have that type of entertainment show where I would. Also, I'd like to be in the movie My Favorite Year. I think I'd like that more than anything. So that would be good also. Are you familiar with this movie?
Yes, I am.
My Favorite Years. That has Peter O'Toole.
Yeah.
It does. It's one of the greatest movies ever. And unfortunately, it's not available on DVD unless you want to buy a used copy for $80.
That's interesting because you know, you're not the first person. You're not the first person to say that is the greatest film ever. But I'm surprised it is not available on DVD.
It is not. Trust me, I've looked for it. I mean, you can buy a used copy for a lot of money, but it is available from Netflix, but it's one of those ones that when you order it, they tell you it's going to take a couple of days.
And it's not streaming, obviously. It's just
I can't find it anywhere streaming. Oh, you know what? I wasn't, when I looked, I was not an Amazon Plus member.
Oh.
I don't know. I'll see if it's on Amazon
Prime.
That's it.
There we go. So, first of all, Dan, you always have a place in my heart, but now you have a bigger place in my heart because I'm a huge Powerpuff Girls fan. I actually got the DVD set for Mother's Day for my husband. That was my Mother's Day present, and I was so happy. I giggled for days. I have a Buttercup doll that Don has actually seen at my house,
mm-hmm.
that when you can push its little tummy and it says things. And one of the things it says is somebody's asking for a hiney whooping. I love it. And I carry it and I bring it to Dragon Con every year. And when I get really mad, I'll go through all, it only says three things, but I'll go through it really quick so I can get to the hiney whooping one in case that's the level of frustration at that point.
Well, hey, am I allowed to give a plug?
Sure.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is not
really
about
on this
Con.
Show, plug anything.
So this is one of the things that I'm really excited about. I'm so excited about that I agreed to do something in August. Think about that. And it's called Monsterama, and it's MonsteramaCon.com for more information. But it's a classic monster movie-focused convention. No slashers. No Friday the 13th, no zombies, or the zombies have to have voodoo zombie. So not the Dawn of the Dead. And the focus this year, the first year, is going to be on Atomic Age monsters, which is a very era that I picked to live in, and that 1950s kind of motif. And the reason I'm plugging is because normally I just talk about things. This time, I'm going to be riffing the movie Equinox, a 1970s movie directed by a group of kids who ended up going on to win many Academy Awards for movies such as Return of the Jedi and Terminator and Terminator 2. They did the special effects behind those movies, but this was a movie they made in their garage and in a park. And it's called Equinox, and on August 1st, I will be making fun of that with the comedy group Cineprov at Monsterama. So my plug. And also Larry Blamore will be there. So if you haven't seen Lost Skeleton of Cadaver, go out
not.
And get it. Look at it.
Oh, wow.
View it. It's one of the funniest things a geek can see.
And
so those are my plugs.
Where is Monsterama again?
It's going to be in Atlanta at the Holiday Inn Select. That's at the top end of the perimeter on Peachtree, Chamblee, Dunwoody, Ashford Road. It's up there. If you've ever been to Timegate, it's the same hotel as Timegate.
And if you go on their website, they have I've been going on there. I've been getting emails from them because I am a huge, a lot of people know this, I am a huge lover of the sci-fi original motion pictures, which means I love bad sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
What?
I once had dinner with Joel Hodgson of Mystery Science Theater 3000, also
you
a
bastard.
Dragon Con guest. So Joel and I had dinner once, and I said, but why did you do The Beginning of the End? That is a great movie. I remember being 7 and thinking that's the greatest movie I've ever seen about giant caterpillar, locusts that eat Chicago one skyscraper at a time. It's really bad, but I loved it at the time.
What was his response?
One of my favorite movies is The Wild Women of Wongo, which is so bad, it's wonderful.
Well, I want to know what Joel's response was.
Sometimes I like movies that we made fun of too. But that's not what riffing's about. And later, I realized the first two riff tracks I purchased has nothing to do with Joel. Let's make that clear. But the first two riff tracks I bought were A New Hope, and shoot me for using that title, and Iron Man, both movies I adore.
Well, there you go. So,
there you go.
And were they good?
They were amazing. If you do not, Riff Tracks, we have Riff Tracks guests coming to Dragon Con, so you should support Riff Tracks also. www.rifftracks.com. And there's a live performance tomorrow of Sharknado across the country.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You didn't know about this, Lee?
I didn't know about this.
You did or didn't?
Fathomevents.com.
It's probably an AMC near you.
Oh, but they're going to make fun of the movie I love. See, I'm not sure.
But you get to see the movie on big screen.
Did you like Sharknado?
I love Sharknado. I can't wait for Sharknado 2.
I believe the sequel is going to be called Shark Warsaw Pact.
It's being called Sharknado 2, the sequel.
All right, Dan.
I love Sharknado. Why are we having this discussion?
You caught the throwback to the Cold War. You got it. Yes. You got it. Yeah,
yeah. I got it, and I'm ignoring you because Sharknado was awesome.
So, and I was going to have you on my radio program too, Lee, but then my station went out of business. So.
Well, if something changes and you ever just want to do a podcast with me, call me up. You know,
I will. I will.
You know where. And I checked my emails. I'm actually on the list. I actually have two reporters who want to work with me, and I've actually emailed them, so we're all good.
Excellent. Excellent.
I did actually did do my job. I just kind of forgot. <That's>, with everything else going on.
I kept trying to explain, and this is inside baseball, folks, so just ignore me, but I kept explaining to directors that this was a dating service. We give you each other's email, and it's up to you to set up a date yourself. And people were confused. They wanted us to actually set the time and date, and then I thought, well, my boss wouldn't actually like it if I did that instead of my job all day. So, okay.
So Dan, real quick, the website address where they can people can get rejected for being a
MediaRelations.DragonCon.org. And I'm not going to just click on the apply button because I'm not going to give you a really long URL on there.
And the con again, what's the address for that?
It is DragonCon.org, or MonsterRama is MonsterRamaCon.com.
All right, cool. Well, Dan, it's always a pleasure. You never cease to deliver, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And we really appreciate you taking the time out.
Well, thank you guys for everything you do all year round and all summer with the 50 Days of Dragon Con.
Appreciate it. And until next time, this is John for Dan and Lee saying peace.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.